Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg and Kirk Gray. Welcome.
Thanks, Fred. It's great to hear your voice again and get together.
It's been a little while, so I'm glad we got back on the schedule and stuff. One of the things we were talking about, I think you mentioned just before we got started here, is that you got your paper accepted to a conference coming up. And today is the day we're recording this. This is also the deadline. I got to get my paper submitted to a conference coming up. So what conference are you going to?
Well, this will be the Accelerated Stress Testing and Reliability Conference to be held in Pensacola, Florida, September 28th through 30th.
Isn't that hurricane season in that part of the world?
Could be interesting. Yeah, I think it is a start. But Pensacola is a beautiful beach town and not a lot of technology around there. I'm not sure that we'll get a draw from the local area much, but I'm going to be presenting a paper on the thermal benefits, thermal halt, and the benefits to finding software, hardware interaction, marginality, or reliability issues that you can discover, and focus a lot on what I also included in my book, which is currently shipping from John Wiley and Sons. Our book, John Paskowitz and myself wrote Next Generation Halt and Hass, Robust Design of Electronics and Systems, and I'll put a link in our notes to that. But it's a part of...
I'm going to have to start charging you for all this advertising.
I'll be presenting basically what a lot of my chapter 8 in the book is about, and that is... when I talk about next generation halt and hass, I really talk about the use of halt and hass to find some, you know, start looking at the boundaries and limits to find marginal signal integrity and marginal interactions with the hardware, which amazingly in my research, there is very, very little data on the interactions of hardware variations in the manufacturing process and how it affects signal integrity and therefore, of course, software reliability. I would just love, and if anybody out there listening knows of, for instance, the high-speed logic eye diagram, which is well known. It's it's a basic the difference between the 1 and 0 voltage levels and very high speed and has jitter and skew in it. And it's kind of a fuzzy diagram within the center, what would look like a human eye shape. And that is the place where if the voltage crosses there, the logic state may not be known. But there's very little, and I've talked to Sam Keen, who was the president of the Reliability Society, and he says that's true. There is very little information or data or research on variations in hardware and how it affects signal integrity. Hmm. So I'd love to see an Eye diagram, for instance, in the range of minus 40 to plus 100 C and see how that changes, because I believe if we started looking at these things, we haven't started looking at them because nobody's really thought about this too much or found it as a place.
It sounds like a paper for you is go get some equipment and start making some measurements.
A couple $100,000 is all I'd need. And, you know, a few chambers and some logic analyzers and people that know how to run them. But I think if somebody were to look at this and do that kind of study, they would see some valuable information. And, for instance, what happens over time as far as the aging? You'd have, you know, there's thousands of computers or millions of computers that come back after 10 years or so, you know, long time. And we could look at the eye diagram and see how that changes as the product ages, as the materials age, as there's solder cracks in the vias and things like that. I think this could be a very useful avenue to pursue, but it would take some experimentation and some willingness to go off and do some basic research on
it. Well, it sounds like you're laying out your doctorate thesis for your next degree.
Oh, I wish. Yeah, I wish somebody would. It would take a large IT hardware company like the HPs or the Dells or Lenovos of the world to want to do this.
But anyway, back to you got a paper coming out. It's based on your book. You should probably take a few copies of the book with you and do some signing and stuff. Now, when I think of ASTR, the conference you mentioned, is I've always associated it with the HALT style of testing predominantly. Is although I know that people do talk about accelerated life testing there and other forms of testing, but is it really just a testing conference?
Well, Fred, that's an interesting point you brought up. It all formed, and I was at the very first conference, ASTR, and at the time it was called a workshop. And we really, Tony Chan, there was quite a few people like Paul Parker, I think, and of course Greg Hobbs was in attendance there. But it was really formed in the fact that those of us who were practicing HALT and HASS and taking a discovery and limit test approach, really following Greg Hobbs' philosophy of HALT, and that is test to the product strength, not so much the end use, anticipated end use conditions, but test to product operational destruct limits. And it was such a new paradigm shift back in the early 90s that we realized that the orientation of the reliability community was not towards that. It had been based on the Handbook 217 and modeling and more statistical analysis and MTBF, which, of course, you and I both agree is a very bad metric to use. It gives you very little information. But we all knew that there had to be some forum, so we formed under Components, Packaging, and Manufacturing Technology Technical Society under the IEEE, and which was unusual. We should have been under the Reliability Society. But at the time, the Reliability Society in the IEEE was really oriented still to the statistical analysis and the essentially the intrinsic modeling or modeling of intrinsic failure mechanisms that were known at the time, and not really looking at the problem of warranty returns, the real reality of defects and the causes of defects that those engineers that are close to failure analysis will recognize. And that is,
you know, from early 90s to now, and I've attended one that was nearby here. It was held once in San Francisco, and it moves around. You mentioned it's going to be in Pensacola coming up, but it obviously it's taken hold. What I remember, though, it wasn't a huge conference, but it had the advantage of plenty of time to meet and talk to people and to really dive deep into topics. And if I remember right, it was a single-track conference. It wasn't multi-rooms.
Right. I was the registration chair for many years through the late 90s and early 2000, and was an active twice I was – general chairman of the conference, and I think Montreal, and yes, it moves around in different cities, different even Canada. We've had a couple up in Canada. I haven't been active in it in the last 3 or 4 years, but wanted to return. And since that time, it's changed from a workshop where it was very informal, and we just made presentations, to now it's a full-blown conference with published proceedings, which made it a more of a challenge because I had to write a paper.
Right.
I have a paper and a presentation, but the paper had to conform to the IEEE specs, and so I had an editor help me with that. But
so it sounds more like the RAMS conference, Reliability and Maintainability Symposium. That's where I've got my paper in, and it's like I mentioned, today's the deadline to get all that stuff uploaded.
Right.
It's funny. It's the end of July and the conference is at the end of January and we're putting papers up now.
Yeah. Well, John, that's a good point, actually, John Paskowitz will be at the Rams presenting a paper based on our book also. And we're out promoting, so you'll get to meet him. And I'm very likely to attend Rams this year for that purpose.
You just like going to Florida. I think Rams this year is in Florida again.
Orlando. Yeah. Pensacola.
But Rams has been around, I believe,
forever.
The 50s. I mean, it's been, I think they celebrated their 60th anniversary a few years ago.
Yeah. And it's changed a little bit since then.
Well, yeah, it's now they have four or five parallel tracks. They have about a third of the time is spent with tutorials that, tend to repeat. About a third of the audience, of usually 500 to 600 people attend. And about a third are brand new, first year to it, and they're usually fairly new to reliability. So it's a pretty decent place to start a network or build a network within the industry. It's sponsored by 9 different professional societies.
Yeah.
So it's it's a huge conference, and it's not just IEEE, and it's not just electronics. It gets into all kinds of stuff. And it's been fun.
I've been there once. I think to Las Vegas. Of course, they do, I think, a few in Las Vegas. They like that city. And it's big enough to hold a big group like that, quite a large compared to the ASTR or other conferences. But at the time I went, it seemed to fall back a lot on the old approach of statistical distributions and chi-squared and, different things that, to me, weren't, having been involved in failure analysis and looking at the failures from the field, just didn't really relate to what I was seeing, the causes of electronic failures, and what I'd had seen for years, including the years I was a field service engineer working on semiconductor equipment. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to describe what I knew were the causes and what I saw were the causes, and certainly were confirmed in my years at Dell as a senior test engineer, that it's just a big disconnect. But we understand that because it's very, very confidential information, and we just can't share it. And of course, I write about that in my book, as one of the challenges is that we don't really are unable to share real causes, especially in the commercial field where competition, and if your competitor finds out you announced a cause of failure, they'll certainly capitalize on that to disparage your quality. Well,
there's plenty of quality problems that go around, and I think so ASTR and RAMS are two big conferences, so they do have, I know that there are papers and stuff that talks about halt and discovery style processes, but it's not a big thrust of it. I think
it's got
a good number of academics too, so they're pushing the edge of research on FMEAs or modeling or stats and stuff.
And that has its place. It's just like international, the reliability physics, what do we call it?
IRPS.
IRPS, you know of that one. And
That tends to focus more on active components, electronics, the CMOS and what is it, gallium arsenic style chips, active components. And then there's CARTS. There's, I think it stands for Components in Reliability Technology Symposium or something like that, but it focuses on passive components. But I think there's close to a couple hundred conferences. Yeah, IEEE sponsors probably 30 or 40. There's more and more conferences coming out of China, and you've seen way more activity there. And some are industry focused, like automotive reliability. Mm-hmm. Aerospace has been a long time conference. I think that there's I'm forgetting the name of it, but there's a conference that's held at Big Sky, Montana, and it's for the aerospace industry and reliability. Mm-hmm. And it's set up so that you have time during the day to go skiing. And then in the evening, they have like a social hour, and then they do the first round of papers, and then they have a dinner, and then there's another round of papers, and then there's cocktail hour, and then you go skiing in the morning.
Well, I'm sure they're glad to give you time to do some fun things, but a lot of these, they're paid for, you know, by the government or people, trips there and things like that. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the different cultures of the commercial and the government. And it, my assessment of the Rams was it was at least back 15 years ago, and you've certainly attended it since then, but it was fairly heavily dominated by the military defense contractors.
And, that's changed
and,
a lot.
And they tend to have a conflict of interest in the fact that they bid cheap for the design, and then they really make most of their money in the aftermarket. And that's kind of a conflict of interest in testing and preventative reliable testing.
That's probably a whole different conversation, Kirk, is on how you know, all that issue came around. But yeah, Rams has still got, I think NASA is probably the biggest government agency that shows up. And there are a few government contractors, but we don't have, it's not heavily dominated by Northrop Grumman or Boeing or Lockheed. Those guys, some are there, but it's not like it used to be. There's a small percentage now.
Well, that's good. And I know that they've Paul Parker and Tony and others have presented HALT material there, and there's probably more of that. But I still see discouraging remarks by other consultants in the industry, recent emails saying, you know, the HALT theories and HALT methods and really putting out false information about the process or misunderstanding about the process.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to see that.
Well, you know, at least we're all still in an active conversation.
Right.
Conferences have played that role for years of allowing us as professionals to get together for networking, for professional development and stuff.
That's a very good point, Fred. That's where I learned the most. When I'm able to talk to other individuals in the field on a side discussion or something after we've talked after a presentation, mm-hmm. that's where I find the most useful information and useful conversations, and really learn a lot is from hearing from those guys and, you know, going into details on their papers or some point mm-hmm. that they made. And so I find that, you know, the best part, even though the beach and skiing can be fun.
Or when they hold it at Disney World. And it's hard. It's a distraction. There's not that many conferences in Hawaii for engineering disciplines. The marketing, you know, and sales, they're always in Bahamas. The other thing I'm noticing is there's a conference called Solutions 2.0. It's focused more at asset management and plant management reliability. And they went completely virtual. So it's like an ongoing series of webinars, and it's just a sequence. And there's two or three others I can think of that I've run across that have abandoned the in-person version of it.
That's expensive.
No, it's not. In-person's expensive, and it takes a week out of somebody's time. Whereas if I can attend a conference for 2 hours a week for 6 weeks, you know, and the best one I saw had, there was the presentation, the paper, and it was like a webinar, right? And there was chat and Q&A time. But then they had conversation rooms. So if you did want to, you know, like approach the podium after the presentation, they had a mechanism to do that.
And that's great.
And so it added a bit of the webinar style presentations, but try to accommodate some of the stuff you would see in a live conference. One conference, it's innovation and reliability.
I'd love to see that.
It's been going on like 3-4 almost 5 years. And I'm having a senior moment is with the, I'll have to add it to the notes. It was hosted, and I think it still is sponsored and hosted by Cisco and some of the engineers there. And what they did is that it's a one-day conference or workshop, and they have a series of invited speakers, and vast majority of their audience is remote. So they broadcast it, and they have mechanisms for discussions for people remotely to ask questions and so on and come in, and it's recorded and all those things. But I'm seeing webinars encroaching on the need to go to a conference. I think all of the conferences have been down in attendance in the liability world. Right. And some of it is budget and time and travel costs and stuff. But the there's less need to go to a conference if I can get meaningful professional development through an ongoing webinar series. And today, the day we're recording this, we sent out our Diane and I sent out a listing of webinars for August.
Okay.
Right. And by when this episode comes out, we'll be probably getting ready to prepare and update for the September listing. But I think the list had 20 events on it.
Wow.
Right.
That's great.
And August is a relatively slow month. And
right. Summer is usually a less activity.
Right. Where it's like a multi-track conference. And you can pick and choose which ones you want to go to. And many of them are free and many of them are recorded. So you can, even if you can't attend live, which has advantages, you can catch it later. So I'm seeing more and more webinars that are adding really good content. They're not all sales pitches. Some are. There's a few of those. And I don't tend to list those that are strictly sales pitches. But they are, to me anyway, is replacing to a large extent, the in-person conferences.
Yeah, but of course, you know, the casual crossing and people you didn't know, still there's an advantage attending a conference. But you're right, the economy recently was made it very difficult, and budgets were slashed, and that made it difficult. I think we ASTR. Suffered through that from 2009 through 2013, I guess my last involvement. But hopefully it's picked up. I don't know what the current ASTR is. It used to be about, I think at best we had 130, whereas RAMS is, what, thousands?
No, it used to
thousand?
Be. No, it used to be in the thousands. It's declined. I think they're happy when they get to 500.
Yeah, I'll have to check out these other ones because except for IRPS, I'm not familiar with the other ones you've mentioned.
Well, since you've been plugging your book and your paper and stuff, I'll plug the reliability calendar. So at Ascendo Reliability,
definitely.
There's a listing of the monthly webinar listing that we send out is also on the site. But there's also a webinar calendar. It's a Google calendar that's buried in the site. And you can search it and do all kinds of cool stuff. But there's also one it lists conferences and seminars and workshops and meetings and anything we can find that's related to reliability events. But you can search it for conferences. And every now and then there was one. Oh, I've drawn a blank on the name of it, but it was held in Hawaii, and they actually had a pretty good turnout. So they broke the ice a little bit. So it might, maybe what I found people do is they go to the calendar and they search for, you know, I want to do a vacation in France. Is there a conference there? There's a little bit of that going on, but it's also serious. I used a similar device 30 years ago when I was first learning about accelerated reliability, and the back of the American Statistical Association new monthly magazine listed conferences and events. And lo and behold, I found one I never heard of before, and it was on AST, on accelerated life testing. And I met people I've known and worked with ever since at that conference. And I think the conference went on 3 or 4 times and then faded away. But I would have never heard of it otherwise. And now there's not – everybody is advertising their own conference or their own event. And that's where the Ascendo fills the gap and lists from as many sources as we can find. So
right. And actually, the ASTR is where we met for the first time at San Francisco – the only one you attended. Yep. Michael Peck was there. Lots of people, and I presented there. But that's great, Fred, and I think that you're doing a great service to help spread the information. Certainly there's lots of groups on LinkedIn that are focused on reliability, and each one has a little different angle. So I'm sure that's true with the conferences.
Yeah. Well, let's So, Kirk, you're in ASTR in September in Pensacola.
Right.
And Rams is the, I think, the third week or last week in January, and it's in Orlando next year in January 17th. Yeah. And the reliability calendar section underneath the in Ascendo Reliability is a place where you can, as a listener, you can find upcoming events and calendars and stuff so you can keep going with your professional development beyond the podcasts that we're doing here. But speaking of the podcasts, if you're interested in, you know, if we didn't mention your favorite conference, you know, let us know. We'll get it added. If you don't find it on the calendar, I'd really like to know to make sure we're covering all the different sources. And then one of the things, and I know it's on my to-do list, is to add the conferences to the resources page and then open it up for reviews, for comments. And so keep an eye on that in the Ascendo Reliability site. And we'd look forward to hearing your reviews, basically. Think of it as a book review, but for conferences, and give other people a really good picture of what is and isn't a particular conference.
Right.
We, you know, we've got limited training dollars usually, and many engineers get to go to one conference a year. So let's help each other find the right one for what we need.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kirk.
Okay, Fred. Let's do it again.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.